south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, I mentioned that expat Eddie is back. Man, does he have some stories for us. Anyway, you longtime listeners will know that expat Eddie came down about 10 years after I did. He's an old friend of mine from the States. Brought up kind of trailer trash in Texas. Very smart, laid-back guy who had a lot of bad breaks because, well, you know, had a few vices, debts, bankruptcy, a few bad relationships, dysfunctional family and all that. Sound familiar? Anyway, Eddie came down here with $5,000 of his mother's money, and now he's a multimillionaire. He started a little sushi kiosk a long time ago in San Salvador, that's the capital of El Salvador, in the biggest mall there, which isn't a big mall. Only reason why he did it was because he couldn't get good sushi. At the time, all they had down here in Latin America in that regard was bad, unhygienic Chinese restaurants who would have a short section on their menu for sushi because it was the up-and-coming thing. Now, back then, sushi was not the up-and-coming thing for the average Latin. They didn't even know what it was. But it was the hip, cool thing for that 2 to 5% of Latins with dough who had satellite TV, usually Sky TV. Back then, that was the only way you could get U.S. programming. So Latins down here with money saw shows like Seinfeld and Home Improvement and how gringos were suddenly into this new groovy thing called sushi. And soon enough, bad Chinese restaurants started making bad, unhygienic versions of sushi. And Eddie said, hey, there's a niche. So his first kiosk was pretty much for him, so he could eat sushi. Then it got to be a thing. And he expanded quickly from mall to mall, little kiosks popping up everywhere. And then, about a year and a half ago, he was approached by a rich Latin and sold out. Of course, the deal he made with the other people was to hang around a bit and keep the franchise gringo-like, because you know what happens when the gringo leaves and the Latins come in. And that's, by the way, exactly what's happened. Eddie says it's already going to the dogs. But, you know, he expected that. We all expect that down here in Latin America. That's why if you have a business, you have to be there, well, not every day, but you have to keep close tabs on it, or the Latins you put in charge will regress to their old mañana time third world ways. And that's what sets us apart from the Latins we're in competition with. Details, details, that's our gringo advantage. So anyway, Eddie's been in the money now for the past 7 years or so. And he's been engaged for a couple of years now to a hot Salvadorian runway model. By the way, he met her when he was still pretty much broke. So she didn't start out as a gold digger. She didn't hook up with him for the money. It was another part of that gringo advantage, that he had clear eyes. You know, every Latina wants a gringo with clear eyes. And every Latino wants a gringa with clear eyes. Hey, I'm not making this up. That's just the way it is here. Come on down and you'll see for yourself. Anyway, if you remember on an old show a year or so ago now, I mentioned that she finally talked him into buying her a new SUV. And since it's so big, she can't park the thing or put it in reverse very easily. They have a driver. How about that? So yes, Eddie's doing a lot of the things I tell you you should never do coming down here as a first world gringo. Now, Eddie's totally down to earth. He's one of the boys and drives a 7-year-old pickup. Now, it's because of his fiance that he's in a gated, guarded, high-end home. Huge garden, swimming pool, sauna, 6-person jacuzzi and all that, but he doesn't use any of it. Typical Eddie. Meanwhile, in his closet, he's got the same shirts, belt, shoes, and leather jacket that he had when he first came down 15 or 20 years ago. What I'm saying is, and some of you guys and gals will get this, he doesn't buy any clothes when he's wearing anything new. It's because Claudia bought it for him. After all, she's in the fashion business. And Eddie, always the rumpled gringo, is a constant makeover case in progress for her. Meanwhile, she's got over 100 pairs of shoes. And when Eddie met her, he said she only had 4. But Eddie's right when he says we all have our obsessions. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you've got one you can afford. Hell, he said, when he was a teenager, he had an obsession that almost killed him. He was into midget car racing back in Texas and dropped all of his disposable income into it, and then some. I remember back then, Eddie told me he had a lot in common with Elvis. He said, we both eat peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Elvis, because he liked them, and me, because that's all I can afford. Now, Eddie no longer has a problem with affording things. He's just a good old boy who doesn't give a rip about glitz or glamour. But he does love races. Stock car races, midget car races, drag racing, motorcycle, go-kart, dirt bike racing. Like Eddie says, if it's got an engine and a seat, I'll take a spin on it. So anyway, Eddie, like so many gringo expats, has a lot of time on his hands. He's got maids and gardeners and maintenance guys and pool guys, even a driver now. So, like Eddie says, if you don't find a productive hobby, you just might end up with a substance abuse hobby. Yes, to some, there are a lot of substances that are worthy of abuse, especially when they're dirt cheap like they are here in Latin America. Although, you could have a lot of hobbies and still get into substance abuse. After all, wherever you go, sports, booze, and pizza seem to come as a package deal, right? By the way, since Latins copy everything first world and gringo, they do the same with hobbies too, so they've got every hobby under the sun here. Even what you might call upscale hobbies that only maybe 2 to 5% of Latins can afford to participate in. Which is why if you're into car or motorcycle races, you can find them. They're down here everywhere. There's all kinds of competitions. So that means on any given weekend, if you're near or around a medium or large size Latin city, you'll find a couple of different racetracks having events. So how do they differ from racing events up in the States? Well, for one thing, the admission price is a fraction of what you're used to paying, and it's more or less a free-for-all. They don't have all the rules, regs, and norms that they impose on racing teams up in the States. Which means, of course, bystanders sometimes get hurt, and there's no one to sue. This is Latin America, you know. Which is all part of the fun and the excitement. After all, a lot of people go to races to see people crash and get hurt. Another part of the fun is they have open races too, so you can come in and drive your own car or wreck your own car, however it turns out. So yes, on Saturdays and Sundays, you could hit one of the local racetracks, even make a family get-together or picnic out of it. And you'll see all classes of people there. Upscale, stuck-up people with their bodyguards, right alongside the nose ring, tongue stud, neck tat types. Wow, try saying that 5 times and a couple of tequilas. But mostly it's just the Latin middle and lower middle classes out to have some fun because it's a day at the races. Oh, and we mustn't forget that this is a macho Latin society, so there are all kinds of beautiful, sexy-looking girls in very tight latex and spandex outfits promoting and handing out free samples of products, from beer to Jack Daniel's junk food, even bubblegum. And of course, that's part of the reason why so many middle-class Latin American boys and men come out to see these events. To have a look and gawk and get some free samples from those unattainable, super hot, sexy girls doing promotions like that, known as modelos or edecans or edecanes. By the way, there are 3 kinds of job titles for ladies who do that kind of modeling or product promotion. Now, Eddie knows all about that stuff because his fiancée is a runway model. So at the high end, which pays the most, they're called modelos. They do runway stuff, billboards, TVs, and magazine ads. Yep, they're the highest paid, but they don't make more than $1,000 a month. That's the top end. Now, that's considered big money here in Latin America. It's 3 or 4 times minimum wage. And the next level, where the girls aren't quite so tall, stunning, and beautiful, are called edecans. Those are the girls in the skin-tight clothes giving out the free stuff at events, car races, conventions, beach parties, and stuff. Oh, they're beautiful enough, all right. But some just don't have the poise or the etiquette it takes to do the TV and the runway stuff. Then you have the ladies called impulsadoras. That's impulsadoras. They're third or bottom on the list. The operative word in that title is impulse, as in impulsadora, meaning impulse buy because they'll be in the grocery stores and grocery store parking lots trying to get you to make an impulse buy. And though they're almost always dressed in sexy, product-themed or related uniforms, they, like the other 2 types of ladies in that profession, models and edecans, have no male counterpart at all. And if they did, for sure the guys would wear more clothes, get less attention, and less pay. By the way, these supermarket impulsadoras are more like the girl next door. Attractive, but not runway model material. Now, up where you come from in the States, this could never happen. First of all, I don't think you could pay a young lady up there enough to prance around in skin-tight latex or a bikini in a supermarket or supermarket parking lot all day. I'm not kidding. You have to see it to believe it. In fact, I've had countless gringos say to me on their first trip down, man, I can't believe this stuff goes on. If that happened up in the States, there'd be women's right picketers everywhere. Meanwhile, down here, those jobs are in great demand by ladies because they pay a lot more than minimum wage. And it is a nice, safe way and a good opportunity for a pretty girl to get out of her low-class neighborhood and possibly meet a nice guy with a decent job and maybe even a car. A guy who could elevate her social status a bit. Then, with just a little luck, she might never have to ride that chicken bus again. Now, you'll find that most of those young ladies get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, hop a chicken bus from their little pueblo way out in the boonies in order to get to that Walmart by 8. Then they're done at 6 or 7 at night, take a 1 or 2 hour chicken bus home, only to fight off grabby hands and pushy guys. All that after being in stiletto high heels for 8 or 10 hours a day. That's the kind of treadmill they're on. Now, I found out from Eddie's fiancée, Claudia, that there's a huge double standard here. Almost all the girls you see doing that kind of work aren't married. Though, there just might be a kid at home that mom and grandma are taking care of while she's at work. Yep, errors in judgment are not uncommon in those little pueblos. Because she's probably one of the best-looking girls in the neighborhood or the pueblo and is getting hit on all the time. Then comes another double standard. Once a girl like that does meet a young, eligible, up-and-coming guy at Walmart, the macho hypocrisy and duality thing kicks in and he won't let her dance and prance like that in front of other people anymore. Even though in most cases that's why he showed up, to see the girls dance and prance at Walmart or on the beach or at a car race. Now the sad thing is, as Eddie's fiancée Claudia mentioned, a lot of these beautiful girls never do find Mr. Right. They're looking for a guy with some money and some position, and there's only a few of those guys out there. Most of the handsome Latin lovers these girls hook up with are not such a good bet to begin with. Sure, they're handsome, sharp dressers, the kind of disco dangerous guy a lot of young girls fall for, but generally they're not very well educated, they haven't got a pot to pee in, except for that 250 Kawasaki or that 12-year-old Toyota. So there are a lot of good-looking guy pretenders out there still living at home with their mothers. But they put on a good show. And since most of the girls that do those jobs can only get a few years' work out of it, many settle for guys like that, end up getting pregnant, and it's downhill from there. Besides that, she says, almost none of the girls she knows saves a single dime. It all goes to clothes and bangles and things. In fact, Claudia estimates about 1 in 5 girls ends up with the good life after her modeling career is ended. So in fact, these ladies that are born beautiful, the ones that have an advantage like that, do have their chance to get out of the pueblo, to get out of the neighborhood, but most of them end up right back there with a couple of kids. But I digress as usual. Anyway, expat Eddie, who was always a lover of fast cars, motorcycles, and racetracks, well, wouldn't you know it, he ended up putting some money into a car and sponsoring a crew. So now he has a hobby that's keeping him very busy. Yep, once in a while, he even gets behind the wheel and does a few laps. By the way, he's been trying to drag me to one of those things, and I think I'll go pretty soon. It sounds like fun. Anyway, as it turns out, 2 Sundays ago, after one of those races, by the way, his car came in 4th out of 11 cars. Eddie was with Claudia. He was driving her SUV out of the parking lot down the main road that would end up at the Pan American Highway. He said finally they hit the open road. They were out of the congestion. He said he was going about 35 miles an hour when the guy in front of him swerved and slammed on his brakes to avoid a dog. And Eddie slammed on his brakes to avoid rear-ending the guy. So the next thing he heard was his own tire squealing and then the tires of the car behind him squealing and boom! Eddie, in his nearly brand new SUV, gets rear-ended. The impact of that shot Eddie's car forward and he rear-ended the guy who had braked for the dog. Now, luckily, Eddie said there was a cop on a motorcycle in the other lane, and he saw the whole thing, came right around. Now, you know, a lot of times Latins without car insurance will just do a hit and run, but the cop was there, so they had to stop. So anyway, the 3 damaged cars pulled over. The cop slowly walked around the cars looking at the damage. Now, Eddie has full coverage on his SUV because it's virtually new. So before he even got out of the car, he called up the insurance company's hotline. And here's what they told him on the phone. First, they said, "Is anyone hurt?" And Eddie said, "No, I don't think so. People are out and walking around." Then the insurance person on the phone asked if anyone had called the cops. And Eddie said, "There was one already on the scene." Now, remember, all this is going down in Spanish because Eddie's way off the gringo tourist trail. Oh, and by the way, this is one of the biggest insurance companies in Latin America. It's no fly-by-night operation either. Then the insurance guy told him to get out of the car, take a picture of the cars, the people, and the license plates. Then he said, I'm going to tell you something very important now. Don't give anything out except your data. Don't say anything else. Not until we get there. And even if it was your fault, don't admit responsibility. And don't sign anything either. Not until we get there. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, an insurance van showed up. Now, Eddie said he opened the back of the van and there was a little sitting area inside. Nice and comfy. A coffee maker and a microwave too, like a little kitchenette. So Eddie and his fiancé got in the van and told the story. And the insurance adjuster said, I'll do all the talking, don't say a word. Now earlier, when the cop came over to the car and tapped on Eddie's window and asked him what was going on, Eddie said, I just called my insurance company and handed the cop his insurance card. And the cop backed off and just stood there outside. Obviously, he knew the procedure when there was an accident and an insurance company was involved. Then the insurance adjuster says to Eddie, have you been drinking? And Eddie said, are you kidding? We're coming back from a car race, for cripe's sake. Everyone drinks at those things. Then, get this. He gets Eddie back to the van, they close the door, and he pulls out a breathalyzer kit. And after Eddie blew into it, he said, all right, let's talk to the cop. But remember, just your dad's. And the cop said to the guy who hit Eddie, have you been drinking? Let me smell your breath. Then he made him walk a straight line. Now, this guy was obviously a little ripped. Now, the first guy, the guy that started the chain reaction by hitting the brakes for the dog, he was just a regular 50-ish family guy. Didn't seem ripped at all. Just all nervous because, you see, he didn't have insurance. And as it turns out, the guy that rammed Eddie didn't have insurance either. The guy in front driving a Mazda that was probably 12 years old. The guy in back who rammed Eddie driving a big old Hilux pickup. All chromed up and tricked out, but he didn't have insurance either. So Eddie turns to the insurance guy and says, this isn't right. I'm the only guy with insurance here. Who's paying for all this? And he said, well, we're not paying for the damage on either one of those other cars. They're not insured, so don't worry. Then after the insurance adjuster and the cop and the other parties filled out some paperwork, Eddie and the adjuster went back into the van. Then he said something strange that sort of shocked Eddie. The adjuster said, I'm 100% on your side. We are your insurance company, you know, but you're lucky no one got hurt or no one had to go to the hospital. And he said, why? He said, if you have insurance, the first thing they'll do is you'll undergo a blood alcohol test. Your insurance company mandates it. If you look on page 6 of your policy, then he pulled out his iPad and clicked until he got to page 6 of Eddie's policy. It says here, if your blood level alcohol reading is between 0.0 and 0.8, you'll have 100% coverage minus deductible, as the policy states. Then he said, but if your alcohol level is 0.8 to 1.5, then we'll apply a double deductible to damage to cars or other vehicles in the accident. Then Eddie said, what? You mind explaining that to me a bit? Our policies and most other car insurance policies state, if you get into an accident and are found to have those higher blood level alcohol limits, the 3% deductible no longer applies. It'll be double, or 6% deductible. So, for example, in your case, your car is worth $30,000, and 6% of that is $1,800. That would be your deductible if your blood alcohol level at the time of an accident was between 0.8 and 1.5, which is right where you tested. Then he said, if you get in an accident and your blood alcohol level is over 1.5, you've violated your insurance contract and there will be no coverage at all. So in effect, they're saying they'll cover you if you're driving drunk, just not too drunk. So that means if you're comfortably numb, that is, with a blood alcohol level of below 1.5, which, by the way, is about double the legal limit for a DUI in the States, then you get slightly penalized, a slap on the wrist, a double deductible. That would be 6% of the present value of your car versus 3%. That's it. However, down here, they don't take your car away. They don't give you tickets or take away points. And the other big difference is down here in Latin America, they insure the car, which means any person driving it and the passenger. So again, as for DUI infractions, it's sort of like back in the 50s and 60s in the States. So is that good or bad? Well, you be the judge of that. Now, I understand in the States, these days, if you get a DUI, you have to buy a certain kind of mandatory risk insurance if you want to get back on the road. Not to mention all the classes and stuff you have to take. However, down here in Latin America, it's not like that at all. Expat Eddie scanned his entire car insurance policy and sent it over to me. Now remember, only about 5% of Latin drivers are covered by any kind of car insurance at all, and only 2% have full coverage. Oh, and by the way, for all of you attending my July 2017 Expat Insider Seminar, I'm going to give you a copy of Expat Eddie's full coverage insurance policy and a copy of a basic car liability coverage policy too. Now, since most people never read their insurance policies up in the States, how could they ever expect to go through one they get down here in Spanish? That said, I'll hit some of the highlights now, so you'll be more well-informed than practically anyone else I know. So, as mentioned, Eddie's car's worth around $30,000, and he pays around $75 a month for full coverage, which includes, by the way, full AAA on-the-road service. That means if you get a flat tire, run out of gas, or just get lost, you can call the number and they'll be there to help you out. So they'll come out, charge your battery, change your tire, tow you. But with Eddie's policy, get this, they say they'll only do that 6 times a year. Then after that, they'll start charging. Which begs the question, how many times does your car break down a year? More than 6 times? Hell, if it breaks down 3 times a year, you should sell it. You've got a lemon. Now with Eddie's policy, it says his coverage is good in every country in Central America. Oh, and if you find you're living in South America, you can get policies like this that cover every country in South America, too. Now, listen to this. The policy also states, we guarantee that we'll show up within 30 minutes when you call for road assistance. And if we don't make it in 30 minutes, the following year when your policy is due, you get the next year for free. Can't beat that, but why are they doing it? Well, that's because in Latin America, we got that mañana time that seems to be everywhere. And insurance companies have to be Johnny on the spot. You get in an accident or have car trouble, you want someone there right away. You expect that kind of service. So car insurance companies, at least, are putting their money where their mouth is. All right, fair enough. So I'll ask you this question. How long does it take for an insurance adjuster to arrive on the scene up in the States? I don't know. You tell me. Now, it's especially amazing that you could be drunk over the limit, almost twice over the legal U.S. limit, get in a car accident, and still get covered. Jeez, I wonder how long that's going to last. By the way, I've had some gringos and expats tell me, Johnny, you know, if full coverage for a $30,000 book value vehicle is only around $75 a month, man, that sounds ridiculously cheap. In fact, most people up in the States pay twice that or more for pretty much the same coverage. Well, if that's the way you feel, go ahead and do it. Now, of course, whatever you drive down here, I always recommend you have third-party liability coverage. And if you shop around, you can get that for around $200 or less a year. Third-party liability doesn't cover theft or collision, but you knew that already, right? And you know, there are bad boys down here that do steal cars, but they steal new and light new cars. So I do recommend if you have a brand new car or a car that's 2 or 3 years old, get full coverage. It is cheap. But don't forget about that 3% deductible. Yeah, remember, down here, most full coverage insurance policies have a 3% deductible. So it's 3% of the book value of your car. In the States, you choose your deductible. Down here, you might be able to do that, but I haven't seen any policies that let you. And I think why that is because the insurance business is so new down here, there just aren't a lot of options to choose from. Not yet, anyway. But there is one thing you have to remember. Bodywork and mechanical repairs are very cheap here in Latin America, and $900 here will go 2, 3, 4, even 5 times farther than it will at a repair shop up in the States. And since insurance companies are out to make money, not lose it, even if you have full coverage insurance, it's set up so the insurance companies almost never have to pay for a fender bender. Because the cost of repairs are so cheap down here, they almost always fall under the cost of the deductible. Now, I've seen quite a few repair bills when it comes to body work and stuff. And I'll tell you, in my 27 years down here, I've had a few fender benders. And a few times I've been sideswiped. And I'll tell you, I've never had some mechanical work done or body work that's been over $400. Anyway, you get the idea. Then there's always that question, how do you pick a car insurance company in Latin America? Well, wherever you happen to be, there are almost always at least a half dozen companies. In some places, more than a dozen. And it's always wise to pick one that's associated with one of the big banks in the country. And for good reason, a lot of big banks own their own insurance companies. Same thing with health insurance. Many big banks own health insurance companies here too. So generally, it can't go wrong if your insurance company is affiliated with a big bank. Now remember, unlike the States, when you buy a car insurance policy down here, it's for the car, not the person. Which is why when a kid turns 16 and he wants to drive, you don't have to go out and get him a policy. Anyway, here's something weird comes off of Eddie's policy. It says, if there's an accident and the person driving the car has his license expired for more than 180 days, or if the driver of the vehicle does not have a valid license, the car will not be covered for that accident. How about that? So in the end, what happened to Eddie? Well, remember, the insurance adjuster did the breathalyzer test, but it doesn't matter. The only breathalyzer tests that matter are if they're done at the hospital, and they're only going to be done at the hospital if someone's injured. So Eddie's insurance policy on that car was in full force, minus that normal 3% deductible, $900. Now, because it was the other guy's fault completely, he'd been rear-ended, remember? The insurance company has taken that guy to court. They're going for the 3% deductible so Eddie can get reimbursed. And he just might get that dough, though it could take years or never. By the way, it cost around $600 for Eddie to get his car fixed. It was the front and the rear bumpers. Of course, that was under the $900 deductible, so it came out of Eddie's pocket. Well, like he said, if it comes, it comes, but he's not holding his breath, that's for sure. Well, it's getting towards the end of the show now, and I've got more to say about this car insurance business, so stay tuned. But let me remind you, once again, if you want to sign up for my July 2017 Expat Insider Seminar, just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on the seminar link for full info. And while you're checking that out, you'll find out how to kill two birds with one stone. That is, come down to the seminar and at the same time, start your permanent or temporary residency in Guatemala while you still can. And for those of you who can't make it down to the seminar or get boots on the ground in Latin America, the very next best thing is to sign up for my Expat Essentials course. Smart gringos really need a plan. It's going to hit the fan up north, you know. So to get yours organized and really moving along, check out expatplanb.com and sign up for my Expat Essentials course.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.